listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there. Hey there. Welcome to the show today. I gave today's show a funny name. I called it Wind It Down and Wind It Up. Now, why would I call it that? Well, it is the week after Christmas. Today, here in Canada, today called Boxing Day. And when I was in the U.S., I didn't even know that was a holiday. Okay, I didn't know that was a thing, right? And it means something, and I don't know what it means. But, my microphone's jumping around here. All right, so I'm going to make an adjustment here. Anyway, Boxing Day is a traditional holiday. It came from the UK, I think. And it has to do with something, and I don't remember, so I'm not going to mutilate it by describing it. But it's a second holiday. So when I moved up to Canada some years ago, I thought, hey, we get a new holiday. It's Christmas and Boxing Day. So yesterday was a holiday, and today is a holiday. That's fun. And so this is the last week of the year. My question to you is, what are you doing with your year? Like, do you assess your year at the end to see how you did? My wife, who is my business partner, Joy is her name, and she's been on here a time or two or three or four, and I'll have her again. But anyway, she and I we just went out to lunch today, and we had an opportunity to just have some brief assessment and talk about, you know, this show and other shows that we're doing, our podcast and other things that are part of spreading the message. Now, I have a huge goal for this year, and I'm inviting you right here, right now to be part of it if you like. But before I do that, I want you to think about what your goals are. Like, what are you up to this next year? What are you up to? What are you trying to do? Do you have a thing like this year is about something? I'll give you some of our goals to share with you some of the things that we're doing. Our plan, we're in Edmonton, Alberta. And that's Canada. And my wife and I are both dual citizens. And so we have been back and forth. We lived in Phoenix for a number of years, and we've been up here in Edmonton now for starting our eighth year, I think, eighth or ninth. And so, but we've decided that Edmonton, which is in Alberta, which is straight north of Montana, you probably heard of Calgary, the Calgary Stampede, that sort of thing. But anyway, Edmonton is the capital, and it's about 3 hours by freeway north of Calgary, about 180 miles or so. So we've been up here and it's cold. I mean, this is the frozen north. Now, this is a weird year. This year right here has been this huge super El Nino. And that's the warm. I looked that up the other day, and it's where a warm blob of water at the equator stacks up against South America. And that makes the winter warm up here. If it goes the other way, which I think is called La Nina, it stacks up the warm water over in Australia, and that makes it a much colder. But anyway, we've got El Nino this year, and so we don't hardly have any snow. Like, that's unthinkable to be nearly out of December. And we've had a couple of snowy days, but nothing compared to what we would normally have. Unbelievable. So anyway, this is our eighth winter. And so we decided that we're done. And now we can't actually leave Canada because Joy's, the reason we moved up here in 2016 was to take care of Joy's mother, who's now she's 92 and she lives with us. And, you know, so we're taking care of her, and we will until she passes, whenever that is. But what we've decided is we're not going to spend any more winters in the frozen part. So this, one of the goals for this year, which is what I was talking about, is we're going to move over to Vancouver Island. Now, if you know Canada, you know there's British Columbia, which is the province along the ocean that's north of Oregon and Washington. And then there's an island that sits out there. Now, there's a city of Vancouver, which is a big, very metropolitan, very, you know, European almost style city. But then there's Vancouver Island, which is a very, very big island. Floating islands don't float, but anyway, off the coast there. So we're going to move over to Vancouver Island. That's one of our goals this year, this summer. So by August or in August, probably. And we'll do it before summer's over because we've got our Ukrainian family with us and the daughter there, Veronica, she's going to start school. And so we're going to be over there. So that's a goal. So this year, one of the things this year is about getting over to Vancouver Island. Now, Vancouver Island is the land of, you know, the tree hugging and woo-woo central. And that's okay, because I talk a lot about your ultimate life, spirituality, the power you have of your intention, your thoughts, your who you're being, your ideas, how you create yourself. I talk a lot about that. So I'll be right at home. It's right next to one of the little islands off the coast there, Salt Spring Island. And that's where Dr. Weil and some other that group of folks have offices and headquarters and things. So it'll be fun. It'll be fine. So that's something this year's about. What is your year about? I want to invite you to take this seriously, because the days are going to tick by. Like when it was December 1, you know, Christmas is coming and there's ads and shopping and decorations, if you do that sort of thing. And we did, and we do, and we have a tree and we have lights in the yard and all that sort of stuff. And now it's over. Wow. Yesterday's Christmas. Boom. Done. Okay. Now we have this sort of pause of a week. And then it's going to be January, and the year's going to change, 2024. And most folks either, yeah, whatever, new year, big deal. Glad I get some time off, couple holidays. Got the kids home. You know, what do I do with them if you've got kids? Or the other opportunity is to say, well, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to try and create some growth, some unusual opportunities and some growth this year. And I'm going to do it on purpose. Why isn't that you? And maybe it is. So what I'd like you to do is I invite you to share your goals, because here's what I know about goal setting. I'm a coach. My work is to help people create the life they want. Right? I mean, you have a life right now. You get up, you go to work, you do things, you're with family, you're with friends, and maybe the life you have is perfect. That's great. If it is. But nearly everyone I talk to says, well, yeah, it's pretty good, but. And then there's two or three things that are kind of big that are bothering them. They don't like, they want to change. So when is that going to happen for you? Now, here's what I know. Most people expect that those changes are going to happen only when something outside changes. I win the lottery. I get a new job. I get the promotion I wanted to get. Some external thing is going to give me the power to change. Well, let's go back to moving to Vancouver Island. Nothing is going to give me the power to go there. I have to create that. We have to create the plan. We have to create the cash. We have to take the actions. We have to go over there and find a place. You know, there's a lot of activity, and nobody's going to do that for me, right? Now, if you want to change something in your life in this coming year or the first quarter or the first month, it's going to take a plan and it's going to take some action. Now, you're perfectly free. And maybe you have, just to live life as it comes. Going to go with the flow, whatever happens, happens. And that's a great strategy if you don't want to take control. It's a great strategy if you're perfectly happy with things as they are, but it's not a very good strategy if you're trying to get some change. If you want to have more health, if you want to have more wealth, that strategy isn't very powerful. That strategy doesn't produce much in the way of results. So let me invite you to think about some. Okay? The invitation is this. This year is ending. I say winding down. Okay? Winding down. We've got 5 days left, 6 days left. It's the 26th. My sister's birthday is on the 31st, which is this coming Sunday, and New Year's is Monday. Now, there's nothing special about Monday except it's Monday, except it's special if you make it special. If you do nothing different, we all know if you do the same thing and expect a different result, then we're crazy, right? Maybe we've been living crazy. We want to win the lottery. We want the boss to get fired. We want something to happen, the company to get bought out in a takeover that generates a huge profit for us or whatever, right? All those things are possible, but they're not likely. And if they're going to happen, you already know it probably. So here's the question. Are you willing to take control of the tools that you have to create your life or not? Your ultimate life, this show that we've done now for this whole year, is about only that process. It is about giving you the tools, giving you processes, books, courses, guests. I've got a fun guest coming next week. I had a great guest last week, but I've got a fun guest coming next week that is in New York City and runs a group that helps businesses grow and do all kinds of good stuff. He's David. He'll be here. I'm not going to spoil that. But anyway, I have a great guest next week also. But before that happens, I want to invite you to take this time, this wind it down week. And while you're relaxing and while you're preparing for New Year's Eve and while you're enjoying whatever you did for the holidays and Christmas, and while you're, you know, recovering from whatever it is, what is your plan? Because things don't happen very well without a plan. And one of the things that I see as a coach all the time is people throwing up their hands. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to prepare. I don't know how to make a difference. And so what we do is we settle into nothing. Now, I use this picture in the background here, if you're watching video, and I hope you are, for fun, because there's a dude and he's standing on top of the world and he's got a microphone in his hand and he's singing. So this is a picture created by the artificial intelligence website DALL-E, DALL-E. It's fun. I got thousands of pictures and I use them for backgrounds all the time, but this one tells a story. So this dude is up there singing his heart out. He's singing to the world. He's got a message to share and he's doing it. And the idea there, of course, he's unafraid. He's going to share the message. He's creating the result that he wants. Well, I don't know about you, but if you've never sung on a stage in front of 10 or 100 or 1,000 or 10,000, you don't know what that's like, or spoken, you know, singing or speaking or something where you've been the center of attention of a whole pile of people. That's a scary thing. Or it can be a scary thing. It can feel like you are on the hot seat because you are. But you know what? You're on that, the decision seat. Let's change the name from the hot seat to the decision seat. Because when we're on the hot seat, we're scared. So we go up to speak and it feels like, oh, everybody's looking at me. Am I going to remember what I'm supposed to say? Am I going to remember my lines? Am I going to screw up my solo or whatever it is you've got to do? You're there and it's scary. So let's take away the crowd for a minute and let's have you be the only person in the audience. And you are looking at your performance. And what you're performing is you're reviewing what you did this year. So wind it down was the first part of the name of today's show. And as you wind this year down, December 26th, and you think about what you did, what you accomplished, are you satisfied? Did it make you feel whole, complete, successful, like you made the progress you wanted? Now, I'm not asking these questions to create drama or to create some kind of negative stuff. It's just a question. Are you satisfied with what happened? Yes or no? It doesn't really matter what the answer is. If you say, yes, you were satisfied, that's wonderful. Then you accomplished your goals. I'll give you an example. In October of this last year, I had to make an assessment. My year starts October 14th. So New Year's, while it's fun and interesting, isn't my New Year. My New Year's October 14th. So my wind down took place between the 7th and the 14th of October. And there's a story behind that, but we won't tell that now. My commitment for last year from October 14th, 21 to 22, or excuse me, from October 14, 22 to 23, was to reach 50 million people. Now, what do I mean by reach? Well, look at the guy singing. He's reaching people. He's got an audience. He's sharing a message, singing a song, maybe giving a speech, but it looks like a vocalist. And that's what I committed to do. I committed to get in front of 50 million people with a particular message. And here's the message. You, right now, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you have the ability to take control of your life and create anything you want. You may not believe it. You may have been told otherwise. You may believe otherwise right this minute. But the truth is, you have the ability to create your life. unless you give it away. That is notwithstanding all the stuff that happens outside of you, all the rough and tumble things that people do to you. I know that. I'm not pretending those away. But you have the ability to create your life. The question is, what are you doing with it? What are you executing with that right? Because most of the time, people just give up, give in, whatever, right? And you don't want to be that way. So when I looked at my goal in October, I said, well, my goal was 50 million people. And here's how I assessed that goal. I said, well, I've been on 400-something shows. And I had estimates of audience sizes, and I have a podcast, and I have this show, and the network television show, and a bunch of other things. And I've written books, and just, et cetera. I did all the list of things where I'm spreading the message of your ultimate life, creating a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And I added up the audience, and I was surprised and grateful that I had reached 75 million. So when I say, what did you do? For me, in October, that was like a victory dance. Yay, raise my hand in victory, like the dude here in the picture. Fun. But that was the end of last year. So even if you get to the end of this year and you say, I did what I meant to do, I created, I was successful, that is wonderful. I'm grateful for you for adding good to the world and for accomplishing your goals. And now the year's over. So what's next? My invitation, I have several invitations. One is, don't ignore the question. What's next? You can say, well, I need to take a year off. Okay. That's not usually very satisfying, and that usually gets boring. So that won't be a long-term answer. What is next for you? Maybe you're recovering from a hardship. Maybe you're just enjoying a full-blown success. Maybe some other condition applies to you right now. But ignoring it doesn't help you. So a truthful, realistic assessment of what you did, how you feel, and what you did versus what you plan to do is really helpful. It's not helpful in a negative way if you jump all over yourself and say, oh, I did this and that. Even if you feel like you failed in a lot of ways. It doesn't matter. You can assess the failure and make some changes, but the negative emotion around you, that won't help you. That won't help you set goals for this coming year. That won't help you be energized to accomplish those goals. That won't help you feel good about yourself. That won't help you attract partners to help. Now, let me give you more for that example. Let's say I'd only reached 20 million instead of 75, and so I'd fallen short quite a bit by my goal. If I had, I could have kept the same goal, saying, well, I didn't reach it this year, so I'm going to move it to this year, 2023 to 2024, and that's fine. But if I would have talked to people, so I enlisted a lot of people, I went on a lot of shows and that sort of thing. If I enlisted people in this way, and I said, well, I tried last year, but I failed and it didn't work, so I'm going to try again this year. If that was the energy that I carried around accomplishing my goal, it wouldn't be very successful. I wouldn't rally a lot of support, and it wouldn't amount to as much as it could. If, on the other hand, I said, wow, I did 20 million. That is incredible. 20 million people heard my voice, heard the message. I don't know what they did with the opportunity, but they heard it. They heard the call to lift themselves, to lift others, to love, bless, serve. I mean, we have a world full of darkness. We have a world full of sadness and anger and bitterness. Our opportunity and the calling, I think, that you have and I have is to add good to the world just because we can. So anyway, if I'd gone in at some defeatist mentality and said, I failed, I wouldn't be able to attract my own energy, and I wouldn't be able to attract the energy of others. So those are just facts. If, on the other hand, I said, wow, I got 20, I got to do that again. What else can I do? What can I do different? And I went collecting more partners, more shows, more opportunities, thought about leveraging relationships better, et cetera, et cetera. Then my likelihood of achieving this goal is way better. And none of this is news. Like, this is intuitively obvious. But you know what? As a coach, my goal, my coaching work is to help people do, accomplish, achieve, smash the plateaus and the barriers and the walls that are in the way. And I can tell you that that negative energy and feeling is so common. I can't. It won't work. I'm not good enough. Who am I to do this? I'm stuck here. You know, I've got all this conspiring against me. That mountain of gobbledygook is everywhere. So me talking about it here is just to not just call attention to it, but to say, if you feel like that, you're not alone. You're right square in the middle of normal. But you don't have to stay there. So when you look at your goals, like I did in October, did you do what you said you were going to do? How did 2023 shape up for you? Let's talk about money. Did you make the money you wanted to make? Yes or no? Do you care? Does it matter to you that you did or didn't? Okay. Relationships. Is your relationship with your significant other like you want it? Is your relationship with yourself like you want it? Is your relationship with God like you want it? Is your relationship with your kids like you want it? Is your business partnerships? Are your business partnerships like you want them? Yes or no? Again, no drama, because when we attach a bunch of guilt and drama, it prevents us from creative thinking and it prevents us from moving forward. So answer those questions for your own benefit. Like, you don't have to broadcast them to the world unless you want to. But it is helpful to assess them. All right, so that's winding it down. I use spiritual goals. I use physical goals, which includes money, and it includes body and everything else. Emotional goals, which is relationship, and mental goals. I use SPEM, and I squeeze everything in those four categories. Yeah, you can create a lot more of them, but I find that when I have 10 or 12 categories, like I've seen some life maps, it's just too many things. And I have goals in all those things, and I did in October assess all of those, and I'm inviting you to do that as this year winds down. Now that you've done that, you've got a sheet, you've write them down, and we'll take a little sidebar here. If you don't write stuff down, then you cheat. I promise you, you're cheating. Well, I sort of did okay. Well, I went to the gym some. Well, my money was okay. So unless it's some blatant, obvious, disgusting, destructive disaster, you lie and you cheat, most of us. So writing things down with clear, measurable commitments are the way to make assessments. Now, that may be painful for you. You may say, I can't do that. It's too painful. I'm not good enough. Well, then we've got a whole lot of opportunity there for goals that are these emotional relationship goals. Because here's the truth. You can live in sadness. You can live beating yourself up. You can live claiming that you're no good and that you can't do this, that, and the other. Or you can realize the truth. You know what the truth is? The truth is you're that guy or gal. You're a rock star. You are. I don't know if you've blossomed yet. You know, right before this show, right before this episode today, I had a coaching session with my vocal coach. Now, I've worked with this vocal coach. He's a Hollywood A-list guy. He's regularly got clients on The Voice and America's Got Talent and those kind of things. He does television and movie work, and he's been a vocal coach for decades. And I've been his client for 7 years. And so I regularly evaluate performance, what I'm doing, my technique, how I'm breathing a Superman breath, and how I sit, and tension in the neck, and all of the technical things. And that all leads up to one thing. How does it sound? Is it working? Right? And if I was going to be negative or a pushback on the coaching, I wouldn't make much progress. Right? Because all the things that I was told would be going through a filter of something's wrong with me, I'm bad, instead of I just need to work on these things about where I hold my neck and blah, 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 blah. Everything that you want to accomplish, whether it's this last year and you did or didn't do it, or we're going to talk about setting up next year, is available to you. Like, there is a path from where you are to where you want to go. And I assess that. I just did. Just got off the phone an hour ago with this wonderful fellow assessing those things. And one of the things that I've got planned for 2024, this plays into it, besides moving, is I'm going to be releasing a lot more music. I'm going to be doing a bunch of performances, vocal performances. I write songs. The songs that I write are about personal development. I have a book called Tightrope of Depression, My Journey from Darkness, Despair, and Death to Light, Love, and Life. I published a few years ago, and I've written an album that has 11 songs telling stories, stories of struggle, stories of loneliness, stories of sadness that come from that book. That's on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, all that kind of stuff. The name of that album is Name of the Black. Then I wrote another book called Down from the Gallows. What is that? Well, that's about the next step, recovery and getting down from the gallows, right? Because my part of my story was a couple of suicide attempts, which was sad but true. So then I wrote an album of music telling stories from that. So there's 11 on each of those. That's 22 songs. Then there's a third book in that trilogy, which will probably be out in 2025, not 24, but 25. And I've already started creating songs from that one and releasing. Six are out and three more will be out in a couple of weeks. My point in saying that is that's about 30 songs that are already ready to go. And so one of my commitments is to do some concerts. I'm going to do some virtual concerts. That's becoming more popular, more available, and more doable with internet speeds and all the rest. So there's another goal that I have because of my message and my mission. Now, I mentioned my mission for last year, and let me help you. I'm going to stop here for a second and say, you know, I'm sharing with you my goals and mission, not because you need to care or be impressed, but I want you to ask yourself what yours are, because as divine beings, you and I were built to love and serve each other. I do this show every week, alone or with guests, to encourage you to step into your talents, to be your authentic self, to forgive others, forgive yourself, to develop your talents, to share yourself, like the picture, like the dude here singing. Like, that's my goal. And I mentioned that last year the goal I had was 50 million. You can hear my voice is kind of strange today. And that was one of the things I was working on with my coach, was what does a singer do when you're having a rough time? So we spent some time talking about that. But anyway, my goal now this year, because we reached 75 last year, is 250 million. So now my goal is to do whatever I need to do, speaking, singing, storytelling, books, music, to get in front of 250 million people, not to say, yay, Kellen, I couldn't care less about that, but to help you say, yay, you, create who you are, what you want. I know that you, right here, right now, have felt the yearning to do more, to serve, to make a bigger impact, and yes, to make more money. That's always included, and I never shy away from that. I know you felt that. I know you felt pushed down and set back by things other people do or crap that just happens in your life. I know that you felt that, and you will some more. The only thing that matters is what you do when that happens. We can't control that happening. A perfect example, it's Tuesday today. Friday morning, I woke up sick. My throat was not good, et cetera, et cetera. Now, so happens that in our church, I'm the pianist for the choir, which doesn't require my voice, but I'm also supposed to, I was supposed to sing a solo at service on Sunday for Christmas. I had no idea if I was going to be able to do that, and hence the question about what to do, although it's past now. I had to prepare and do that and sing anyway, and get ready and do the best I could. And it turned out well. I felt like there was a miracle involved and some blessing and so forth. But that was because of the goal. So I know there's nothing special about me. I just happen to be the one carrying a message. And here's the message. You're capable. You're divine. You have gifts. You have talents. I don't know how you're sharing them with the world right now, but I invite you to level it up. We need more of who you are. I need more of your light, your love, your capability, your power, your voice. I need more. We as a world need more love, kindness, growth, opportunity, tolerance, blessing. And we can't control what people who are negative, hell-bent on doing the opposite. We can't make them not. But what we can is light the light we have where we are. And that is not a trivial saying. It is a powerful saying. And you've heard this stuff I'm going to say right now before, but what if you right here, right now, and me with you, you and me, each of us did 10% more love, 10% more kindness, 10% more giving, more sharing of our authentic selves, more empathy? What if we did that next year, 10% more, 5% more? What if you did 1% more in a day? And then 1% more the next day. It doesn't take a math genius to figure out very, really fast that you'd be 100% improved by the end of the first quarter, almost 90%. So we have opportunity. It's all around us. And, you know, I have a client right now, a coaching client that's building their business, like most of them are. And yet one of the significant impediments to them building their business is a relationship they have with a business partner. Now, they're very good business people, very capable. They have good products and good services, but they don't know how to get along yet. And that key right there. And so their ability to serve their clients, make more money, have bigger impact on the world, get up on the top of the world and sing, their ability to do that is 100% negatively impacted by this one simple thing about them, their inability at this time to get along in a productive and powerful way. If that were to change just 1% in a day and 1% the next day, by the end of the first quarter, we'd have a 90% improvement. So when I talk about changing our behaviors, changing our thinking, changing our language, language toward ourselves, language toward others, it's not a quantum leap. It's not jumping off a cliff and changing yourself completely. It's tiny shifts, tiny shifts. I have another client that I dearly love. She writes a blog, and the title at the bottom says, "Tiny Shifts, Seismic Change." And that is so true. And so when we think we can't make a difference, that what we do doesn't matter, that it's no big deal, that our vote doesn't count, that our voice doesn't matter, that we got no talent and it won't make a difference whether we do or don't show up, that is simply a falsehood. It is simply not true. You, right here, right now, matter. You matter a lot. You don't matter to everybody. Neither do I. You matter to somebody. And your choice to change who you're being 1%, more love, more kindness, more giving toward yourself, love yourself more, kinder to yourself, no more negative talk. Can you imagine if somebody did a performer like this, and all they did is rip themselves for their mistakes in between performances? They'd never get back up on stage. It'd be impossible. All right, so let's talk about changing next year. You've made an assessment of what you did or didn't accomplish this year, and it's fine. Whatever the answer was doesn't matter. You know why? Because it is. So what is. So let's talk about what's up. So what's on your agenda for next year? Do you need to make more money? Do you have a plan for that? Do you need more help? Do you have a plan for that? Now, we had this pandemic happen, and it's over officially, and everything has changed back, but not to normal. Businesses are different. Remote work is more common. There's different strains coming back, and we're learning more and more, so the world has changed. I want you to just use my categories for a minute, and if you want to use other categories, go ahead. But do you know what you want for 2024? So the title today was Wind It Down, Wind It Up. So we're now winding it up. I want to wind you up for your next year. New Year's is Monday. We're going to kick the new year off with a bang with a great interview. But I want you ready for that. Do you have three or four, I don't mean 10, three or four specific goals that you're going to accomplish next year? And I don't mean just some crap on a piece of paper that says, okay, well, I'm going to make more money. or I'm going to lose some weight, or I'm going to find the right partner, or what, you know, those kind of things. Specific things that you know you are committed to create. Do you have them or not? If you don't, they probably won't happen. If you do, then I'm going to give you three things that will help you. The first one is a clear answer to these two questions. Do what? By when? So if you say, by spring, which is March 21st, I will lose 20 pounds. Well, that's a very clear do what by when. If you say, by spring, I will be out of this toxic relationship because it takes some doing. You might be able to do that in a day. You might say, by the end of the week, I'll be out of this toxic relationship. But that's still do what by when. So step one, if you're really going to accomplish something, is get crystal clear on the objective. Do what by when. Now, do what needs to be exact. It needs to be measurable. Someone outside needs to look at it and say, yeah, you did that. I'm going to cross the street in the next 2 minutes. Am I across the street? What does the clock say? Nearly every goal can be put into those specific terms. Now, there's other goals like be happier, and I'll talk about those in a minute, but those are also measurable. So do what by when is the first piece. The second piece is, why is this important? Why does it matter to you? And here's the parts to that. Let's go into the dream world for a minute. Imagine you've accomplished the goal. It's springtime, it's March 21st, and you have whatever you said. The weight is off. The money's in the bank. What do you feel like? What is different about your life? What difference will this goal make? If you find yourself listing a bunch of external things, like so-and-so will think better of me, I'll be more popular, et cetera, my experience is those aren't very good motivators. They don't last very long. If the motivators are inside of you because it's something you truly want, those are more powerful. In addition, if the motivators are in love, they're driven from love instead of fear, then they're more powerful again. So do what by when is first. The second thing is specifically, why are you setting this goal? It might be one of those things. I've told myself 50 times I'm going to, whatever, paint the house, lose the weight, change jobs, start a business, write a book. Why? Because if you don't get clear on the why, again, the weight of day-to-day stuff will get in your way, and all the winding up in the world won't matter. You'll just sputter around in circles. So identify why you want to do it. And the third step, do what by when, exactly why it's important, and that is set up your accountability, set up your accountability process. And most of us like to pretend that we've got all this willpower and we're just going to go do stuff on our own, and you're full of crap if you think that. That almost never happens. And it's not because there's something wrong with you, it's because you're normal. We give ourselves a pass all the time. We cheat, which is why getting specific about the goal is important. Getting specific about the date is important. All those things matter a lot because we tend to cheat. We make excuses. And you know why we do? Because we're hard on ourselves. So there's another whole thrust is, why are you hard on yourself? You're trying to do a good thing. So if you have a child trying to walk, you don't beat him up for falling. You don't yell at him. I mean, you don't beat him up at all, but you don't yell at him or make him, you know, feel bad for falling. So why do you do that to you? Why do you make yourself feel bad for falling? Whatever falling is in your case. That isn't helpful. It doesn't do well. So that is the third step. Step one, do what by when, very specifically and clearly. Step two, I forgot, it slipped my mind. Step one is do what by when, and why? Why does this matter to you? Why is this important to your life? Like, what will be the benefit? What will come? And that is strengthened massively when the why is based on love. It's based on service. It's based on kindness toward you and kindness toward others. All of those things matter a lot. The third piece is, what is your accountability process? What is your, what are you, and that includes milestones. Weight loss is a perfect example. If I'm going to lose 30 pounds, 10 pounds a month, you know, you set up a milestone, you set up a chart. If you're going to save a certain, we're doing that. Like, we've got a move scheduled in August. So we've got a calendar and we're setting up, you know, milestones so we can get cash ready. And then we're going to go look at the houses and, you know, all of that stuff are milestones. And our accountability process, my wife Joy and I, is talking to each other regularly and exploring what needs to happen, et cetera, et cetera. So setting up an accountability process and milestones is the critical, the third critical piece. Okay. Now, that's what you can do to wind it up. Now, you don't have to do any of this, but if you want to accomplish your goals, if you want to be at Christmas 2024, the day after Christmas, a year from now, Boxing Day, and you're going pumping your fist, I did it. I accomplished the thing. I have created the outcome. I have finished the book. I made the money. I lost the weight. I fixed this. I built the business. I did it instead of I'm in a still future pacing because of failure. Those three steps will help you. They will get you started and they will drive you. Now, my whole business, and the thing I love about my business, is I'm in the business of helping you win. My podcast is called Your Ultimate Life. This show is called Your Ultimate Life. I've written 19 books. I have dozens of products, services, and opportunities, hundreds of videos with specific tools and techniques about how to get stuff done, how to create happiness, how to measure your progress, how to get and stay motivated, how to learn to do specific things like meditate, which is a powerful tool to help you get over difficulties. I have dozens of those, but I'm not the only one. There's thousands of people. There's thousands of tools, millions of videos and tools to encourage you, to remind you how great you are, to help you not give up on yourself so that you can make this next year better. Now, you're free to not, obviously. You're free to stay right where you're at. But I got a sneaking suspicion you'd be happier. I got a sneaking suspicion you would feel more content. You would feel more elevated. Ooh, that's a juicy word. More elevated. More like the guy in the picture singing to the world if you accomplished your goals. Now, you have a choice right here, right now. You can ignore this, or you can say, this is going to be different. Now, I want to take just this last few minutes and talk about squishy goals. Often we have goals like, I want more love. I want to feel more appreciated. I want my partner to pay attention. I want more compliments. I want, you know, our relationship to be deeper, more intimate. Those can be measured. And let me tell you one of the ways, and there's several ways. If you'd like to talk about it, reach out and we'll talk. But here's a way to do that. When a person says to me, one of my clients, and I'm working with them, and they say, I need to fix my relationship, deepen it, and so forth. Here's a question to start with. What would happen? So a guy comes and he says, I want my wife XYZ, or a woman comes, says, I want my husband or boyfriend or whatever to be more, and they use a squishy word that means feelings. Then the question back, and this is, you can ask yourself, what would it look like if that condition existed? What would be happening? What would be the language? What would your partner say to you if the feeling you're looking for was real and existed? If you had that intimacy, if you had that trust, what would be happening? And don't brush that off. Get specific. Well, they would volunteer to help here, or they would take me out more often, or we would be intimate more, or, you know, the kindness, the tone, like whatever it is, because I just want it to be better isn't very helpful. Remember back to do what by when. This is where you get really specific in the do what. Well, what does success look like? And you can specify success how someone's talking, how you're talking, how you're feeling, the number of disagreements that you have, how long they last, what is your recovery time. All those things are measurable. None of that's a mystery. And so relegating that stuff to, well, we can't figure it out anyway, that's that's nonsense. Utter nonsense. So step one is use all the squishy words you want and then get serious and say, what would it look like if that were true? And then list the behaviors, the language, and then ask another question. What would need to happen? So here's question number two. What would need to happen so that they would say that? What would happen so that I would feel this? What would need to be, you know, what would need to be true? What are the precedents, the antecedents before that language would happen? So a specific example is, I want my wife to tell me that she loves me more. I don't need to feel that because she does all the time. But I could say that. And then I would say, okay, cool. I could ask her. She might do it, but that doesn't feel good. That's like asking for flowers, right? If she asked me for flowers and I get them, that doesn't work. So then the question could be, all right, what would make her want to say that? And then I could create a list of things. And I could even talk with her about it, depending on the state of your relationship. Or if it was her wanting me to do some kind acts, flowers, dishes, whatever, then exploring what would it take so that those thoughts are spontaneous. Because what we do is we cop out. Well, I don't remember. Well, I'm just not that way. That's bullshit. That is absolute nonsense. You can change anything about your behavior. Your personality isn't hardwired. It's not permanent. You can become a different person. I'm the poster child for that. I went from a lying, pathological liar, addict, et cetera, to a completely different person now. Read the books and you'll see. So you can specify what it would look like if the squishy stuff were true. And you can specify what you think as a game. It's an experiment. What do you think needs to happen so that those things get set or that condition exists? And then you can go to work on those things. So do what by when will work. I promise you. I've used it. I've helped clients use it. So the idea that this goal setting stuff doesn't work in squishy situations is not true. Now, the last word of caution that I give myself all the time, because when I have a goal like I do of 250 million people, you know, there's a lot of things. Like, I can do certain things and then others might do stuff. So one of the things you have to be careful about as you set this, as you set, you wind up your new year, is don't set goals for other people's behaviors. Don't say, well, it'll only work if they X. You can do it the roundabout way, which is what will make them inclined to do X, which is what we were talking about. But if you set goals, like think of a salesperson that says, I'm going to make 20 sales this week. Well, you don't control other people's behavior with credit cards to buy whatever it is you're selling. What you do control is two things. You control your effort, how many calls you're making, how many reach outs, whatever the form is, and you also control your skill at each of those. So those are two really important measurements. One is a numbers game, and the other is something you would work with a manager or supervisor. That's just a tiny example. Every goal is like that. So when you're setting goals, set ones that are in your control. All right, so there's a whole bunch of things that you can do to end last year gracefully, no matter what you did or didn't accomplish, no matter how well or poorly it went. There are a bunch of battle-tested, proven strategies to setting up goals for next year that will make you win, because you know what? You deserve to win. You deserve to have your ultimate life. You deserve to live in purpose, prosperity, and joy. But behold the underlying truth. That's what BUT stands for. Behold the underlying truth. Nobody's going to bring it. It doesn't come in an Amazon box. No one is coming to build your business for you, to fix your relationship for you. It's on you. You can do it. I know you can. I'd love to help if you like. www.yourultimatelife.ca. There's a bunch of free stuff there. Get connected. I would love to have you part of my 250 million. I invite you. I invite you with everything that I have experienced and all the love that I have to love yourself. Let's kick off this new year great. I don't care what last year was like. Take control of the levers of your life. Choose to love yourself. Choose to lift and bless everyone around you, because the opposite is not a lot of fun. I can promise you something really important. And this comes from someone who's been on both sides of this coin, afraid to be my authentic self, afraid of my own shadow, trying to prove things to others all the time, sick with depression, addictions, and all the rest. Now, in the last 16 years, since I've changed my life in 2007, I'm completely on the other side of the coin. I don't remember, well, I do remember, but I don't live that life of fear. Fear, procrastination, self-sabotage, out the window. If I can do it, you can do it. There's nothing magic about me. I walked the path. I've written the books. I have faith in you, your greatness, your opportunity, and your divine, powerful potential, no matter where you've been. There isn't a better day than today. There is not a better day to start right here, right now, to build full speed ahead your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.